Samuel, chapter 6. Okay, 1 Samuel 6. Now the ark of the Lord had been in the country of the Philistines 7 months, and the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place." And they said, "If you send away the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but you shall surely return to him a guilt offering. Then you shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Then they said, "What shall be the guilt offering which we shall return to him?" They said, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for one plague was on all of you and on your lords. And so you shall make likenesses of your tumors and likenesses of your mice that ravage the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will ease his hand from you, your gods, and your land. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he had severely dealt with them, did they not allow the people to go, and they departed? Now therefore, take and prepare a new cart and 2 milch cows, on which there has never been a yoke, and hitch the cows to the cart and their calves home away from them. And take the ark of the Lord, place it on the cart, and put the articles of gold which you return to him as a guilt offering in a box by its side. Then send it away that it may go. And watch if it goes up by the way of its own territory to Beth Shemesh. Then he has done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it was not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance." And the men did so and took 2 milch cows, hitched them on the cart, and shut up their calves at home. They put the ark of the Lord on the cart and the box with the golden mice and the likenesses of their tumors. When the cows took the straight way in the direction of Beth Shemesh, they went along the highway, lowing as they went, did not turn aside to the right or to the left, and the lords of the Philistines followed them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they raised their eyes and saw the ark and were glad to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua the Beth Shemite and stood there where there was a large stone. And they split the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the box that was with it, in which were the articles of gold, and put them on the large stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices that day to the Lord. And when the 5 lords of the Philistines saw it, they returned to Ekron that day. And these are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned for a guilt offering to the Lord. One for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, one for Ekron. And the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the 5 lords, both of fortified cities and of country villages. The large stone on which they set the ark of the Lord is a witness to this day in the field of Joshua the Beth Shemite. And he struck down some of the men of Beth Shemesh, because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck down of all the people 50,070 men, and the people mourned because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God? And to whom shall he go up from us?" Sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kiriath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up to you." Okay, amen. Now, so we'll divide this in 2 different parts, okay? So we'll deal with this issue here with the ark being returned in the Philistines, and then we'll deal with what happens in Beth Shemesh. The one part here is you have to kind of read into the text on this part, but the Philistines, they did not want to give the ark back. And there seemed to be a really big debate going on amongst the lords and also the diviners and the priests, and they all came in and chimed in on this issue. And so I know some people, and I've heard, you know, some preaching say, "Oh, the Philistines were humiliated and so they honored God by taking the ark and giving back." No, they didn't. They were just covering all their bases here. They were arguing with each other. Even though this calamity was happening to them, they still wanted to hold on to the ark because it was such a great victory for them. It was a symbol of their triumph. And so even though it's hurting them, they still want to hold on to it. And they finally come to this compromise and said, "Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put these golden tumors." And this was actually very common during this time. Whenever they felt like their gods had rescued them or delivered them from something, they would make copies of the tumors or of the diseases, which sounds really gross. But they did that. In fact, if you look historically, they still do this in many Catholic ceremonies. I'm talking about like aberrant Catholic ceremonies, you know, like Catholicism that's mixed with voodoo and, you know, all different kinds of things that you see a lot, like in South America and whatnot. And they still actually do these kinds of things. And so they would make these images of their diseases and offer it, you know, into the temple or whatnot. So this is quite common. So they thought we would do that to the Lord, thinking, I mean, God of Israel has never accepted anything close to that. But they're just operating out of their ignorance. And so they send that, the golden mice, it's also part of it. This would be akin to the pestilence that had ravaged the land as well. And they bring in, they say, now if we send it to them, and two conditions. One, the milch cows, and these are cows that never had a yoke. In other words, they wouldn't know where to go. And so they thought, okay, if the cows actually take this stuff to the Israelites, we can say, okay, I think God's done this thing. And if the pestilence leaves, then we know God is in this, you know, or the God of Israel. So they're not really all that convinced. You could tell by the language here, you know, going in the first part of chapter 6, that they're really debating. They want to hold on despite its destruction. Now, I want to just take a moment to make a note for us here, because that's exactly what we do. I'll give you just a really easy illustration to explain this. You know, you are in a dating relationship with somebody. You know this person is not good for you. You know that ever since, you know, as a believer, you've dated this person and your life has just gone to hell. You know, like so many things happen, but no, I need this person. I'm going to hold on to this person. You know, this person means everything to me, even though that person is bringing you destruction. People, Christians do this in so many different areas of our life. We so want to hold on to something, even though the grip by which you're holding on is actually bringing, or the item that you're holding on to is actually bringing destruction into your life. And there's so many different aspects that we can talk through in this part. I don't have that much time to go through them all. But you could see, and I see sometimes in my own life, you know, where I've so held on to something, that the prize, you know, I wanted this so bad. You know, think about like jobs and work. You know, I wanted this job so bad. It, you know, it's supposed to have brought me prestige and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But all it's brought me is pain. And so the easy thing to do is what this diviner says, give it back. You know what I mean? Just turn away from it. Just let it go. And, but the Philistines, they're fighting amongst themselves. Ah, but this is the Ark of Israel. This is the prize. Even though it's killing us. I mean, just take a moment to think about that a little bit. This thing is killing us, but, and this isn't how we do it with our sin. Is it really killing us? Is it really this? Or is just everything just happening out of coincidence? You know, I'm sleeping with my boyfriend. Am I really feeling, you know, all these bad things happen? Is it really because of that sin? Or is it just coincidence? And if you actually sit there and think long enough, you could talk your way out of anything, right? You could think your way out of anything. Whatever conviction that's there, if we just sit there in our natural mind, in other words, you know, it's you, the enemy, just constantly churning and churning, we can talk ourselves out of all different kinds of things. I mean, it's amazing. I talk to people, you know, that come in and I mean, they're really in the throes of sin, but man, they have talked themselves out of conviction. It's amazing, and I think that's one of my primary ministries, is to yell at them. It's quite effective in many ways, because you kind of have to shock them and says, "What are you doing? This is just wrong, man. What, are you crazy or something?" But you know, they just I have rationalized, you know, that it's okay to be living and sleeping with my girlfriend. And so many different reasons. And I just sit there, are you serious? But given enough time, you can rationalize anything. And so these guys are in the throes of this. Like, oh, is this really it? Is this really what's going to happen? Okay, you know, this and that. And so they finally say, all right, we've seen enough destruction. Now, this has been going on for 7 months. So this debate has been going on for quite a bit of time. And so now they say, all right, let's do it. We don't want to be like the Egyptians. We don't have a hardened heart. And if this really is, and this real episode of sending it back is not an act of worship. It's actually an act of inquisition. They're trying to figure out, is this really God or is this not? If it was worship, they would have turned their hearts. You know what I mean? I mean, they would have totally changed, but it wasn't. They were really challenging God in this regard. They were challenging their own gods as well. And you know, I mean, a situation happens like this. So the cows go, sent to the Israelites, calamities taken off of them. Surely they should have gone, this God is God. You know what I mean? You know, our gods, Dagon, these guys are nothing, and turned their hearts, but they didn't. And so you can see kind of where their heart's at in the midst of this. So the cart comes. Let's go to the second part here. The cart comes into this farmer in the field of Joshua, the Beth-Shemesh. Beth-Shemesh was a really small town. It was down in the valley. And so it was some priests, good, wholesome Jewish people lived in this town. Not that many people. And I'll talk about that a little bit later on. So they come and they bring this cart. Now, notice number one, the way by which you carry holy instruments, not just Jewish holy instruments, but at all, to put the ark on a cart, and we know that in the Jewish, you know, you hold it, men hold this thing. But to put the ark on a cart was actually fairly rude in many ways. Just a simple cart, and most likely it had some kind of covering on it. So it was a covered wagon, basically. That act in of itself, it was fairly rude, and just have some, you know, two wild, you know, cows that take it in. So they weren't all that respectful to begin with. But, you know, they didn't understand about the ark. But I guarantee that the Philistines, they don't treat their gods the way they treated the God of Israel in this regard. You know, just some simple cart with a simple covering and two cows sending it through. So it comes to the people. They receive it, and they're, wow, this is amazing. You know, the ark has come back to the people of Israel, and all the villagers, they get all excited. But in 19 it says, but then he struck some men because they looked into the ark. It said 50,070. I want to suggest to you that that's actually a miscalculation. Josephus, in the historical writings, he actually says that there are only 1,400 men in Beth-Shemesh altogether. And so what probably the likely translation is that 50 out of 1,070 men. 1,400, that's 50, and then the 1,400 is 70 men. And so most likely just 70 men died during this time. So a lot of scholars believe that this is actually a mistranslation. And just simply by the fact of just pure numbers, just knowing that there are only 1,400 Beth-Shemites at this place. So that's where you get the 50,070. You can say 50 out of 1,000, which actually was 70 men. And so it wasn't such a huge slaughter that we may think of. It could be 50,070, so don't get me wrong, okay? So I'm just giving you a different interpretation. And that one sounds probably a little more logical, actually, in that regard, considering what's going on. So it's probably 50 out of 1,000, and which was 70 men. It's translated 50,070, but in any case. So they come to this place, and what most likely happened is they opened the Ark of the Covenant, and You know, they obviously didn't see Raiders of the Lost Ark. If they would have saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, they would have known, don't do that. But they didn't see the movie. I'm just kidding. So they open the ark, and what most likely what the scholars are saying is, these are sacred instruments, and they are meant to be held used by sacred utensils. Do you remember when we went way back in Leviticus and went through all these things? And so they had opened the ark, and the key is that it should be covered. They left it open, and so the 70 men actually peered into the covered wagon and looked. There's so many different theories. It could have been their lack of faith. You know, they didn't believe that all the elements were there. It could have been their kind of morbid curiosity, you know, to see what was in the ark. But this was really only reserved for the priests and the Levites. And so they come in and they basically peek at something that is sacred. In essence, if you think about this, the Philistines had more respect for the ark than the Beshemites did. And the Beshemites open it up, they leave it exposed, they peer in about, if I take the translation, about 70 of them, and 70, so not everyone, 70 died. You know, I mean, God doesn't punish all of them, just the perpetrators. 70 of these died, right? 50 out of 1,000, 70 men on the 1,400. So they die in this place, and they ask this question. And this will be a resounding question that you'll see throughout the Old Testament. Who is this God? And who can stand in his holy place? You know, or a holy mountain, or whatever you want to call it. Who is this God? And who is able to stand before this mighty God? Now, remember in Psalm 24, and you have to connect Psalm 24 with this, because Psalm 24 is what David wrote after the Ark of Covenant came back to Jerusalem. This would be years later on. And so, remember they asked this question, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who can stand in that holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up their soul to falsehood nor sworn deceitfully, they shall receive blessing. David is referring, going all the way back to 1 Samuel 6. He's making that connection when these guys asked, who is this God? And who can stand in his place? I mean, who can stand before him? And David answers that question. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up their soul to falsehood. In other words, nobody. Nobody can stand before this great God. Nobody can. And that's why God sends his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that through him we may stand in the presence of the Lord. And we could be what Paul will describe later on as we'll be hidden in Christ in that way. So let's close our eyes. Let's deal with this two-prong ways, okay? The first prong is, you know, really simply, are you holding on to something that is destroying you? It could be sin. It could be possessions or, you know, there's a lot of different. Could be a relationship. But are you grasping onto something that really is destroying you? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit, I mean, just follow the wisdom of the Philistines in this regard. Just let it go. The Philistine lords eventually came to a place and said, you know, this is not worth it. No matter how powerful the ark and what it means to our national identity to have captured Israel's national identity, we're just going to let it go. So the Holy Spirit speak to us about that. Just let it go. Now the other prong to this is in Beth Shemesh. Man, let's honor God. Let's honor the Lord. He is holy. He is holy. Sometimes we lose sight of that. But also added to that, a very, very important part. Thank God for Jesus Christ, who through His suffering made God available to us. Who can stand in that holy place? We can. We don't have clean hands and pure heart, but because Jesus Christ, we have His clean hands and His pure heart. And we have imputed righteousness. And so however the Lord's speaking to you, you're holding on to something, or just this morning, just giving glory and thanks to Jesus. Let's do that.
Take this life, let it become.
Let's pray this morning. However you sense the Lord convicting you of, and let's just bring it before Him, always giving thanks for His Son, who covers us. His love covers a multitude of sins. His love embraces us. His love allows us to come before the Father. Let's pray. Go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our brothers and sisters and their families that are battling cancers and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's hand to be upon them. Pray for God's healing touch. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's touch. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's open doors and His provision. Let's go to our mission focus today, and let's pray for China. Let's pray for our church family in Beijing. Praise God for the new space. Let's ask God now to continually fill this new space with His presence, and be with Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe and Enoch. Let's also pray for the Chung family. The Lord will be have His hands upon them in their travels, and Matt and Nate's parents, especially in the midst of their translation work. Pray for Edie Clark and the churches, and just ask Holy Spirit to continue to guide our friends, but continue to breathe life in this country. Let's lift up our board, pray for the members, and ask the Holy Spirit to continue to shed wisdom and grace. Let's cover and protect, pray protection over the families, that God would continue to lead and use this whole family to Him. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries. Let's pray over our men's ministry, Monday morning, the Pure Desire Group, men's fraternity. Pray for our women's ministry, their prayer meeting, their discipleship class, and especially the retreat coming up on the 17th. Pray for our young adults and for Springs, the Love After Marriage course coming up in a few weeks. Let's ask Holy Spirit to just draw men and women to one another, married couples to one another, and that He would just really minister powerfully through these ministries. And let's cover our SP retreat coming up in October. Pray for Pastor Benjamin and Pastor Daniels, and ask the Lord to fill them with His wisdom and His words. Pray for our people. Pray that everyone at SP would sign up, and that meetings get postponed. Pray for people's health. Pray that they would be ready to engage the Lord. Pray over our facilities in China at the Hyatt at Dongguan. That's that there's no hiccups this year in terms of our place, and all the logistics, all the buses, and give the staff a lot of wisdom as they lead during this time. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank You, God, for Your word today. God, thank You for the reminder, Lord God, not to hold things so tightly in our lives, especially those things, Lord God, that bring destruction, Father, primarily our sin. Lord, help us to always, God, be thankful, Lord, that because of you, God, we can ascend to the hill of the Lord and stand, God, in your holy place. And so we thank you for your life that you lived and the sacrifice, Father. We love you, Lord. Now watch over us today, God. We want to give you our very best today, Lord. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.